Hello, my name is David Levine, and I'm the 2015 WPFW Local Election Supervisor. The following are messages from candidates for the upcoming 2015 WPFW Local Station Board election. To view their full statements, visit elections.pacifica.org. Thank you.
My name is Nancy Sorden. Since 1977, the voice of WPFW has been broadening my view of the world, unlocking my prejudices, and bringing inspiration into my life and home. It is important to me that WPFW's big voice, 50,000 watts of jazz and justice, remain on the air, carrying out Pacifica's DC mission to broadcast independent artists who express all our truths and report what is ignored by mainstream media. So I joined other concerned members and supporters on the programming and finance committees. I was elected to fill a board vacancy and would like to continue serving, so I am running in the upcoming election. I want more people to know about the station because WPFW's voice belongs to the people.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
So why are you fasting?
We've been fasting at the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which is over a few blocks down from Union Station, because they are an agency that gives permits to the natural gas industry to build pipelines and other infrastructure for natural gas. And there's been this whole fracking thing for the last five or more years. And FERC is basically, it's a rubber stamp agency. They give permits for pipelines to ship frack gas different parts of the country, and now they're permitting export terminals to send frack gas around the world. Okay. And we're very much against fracking. Fracking contaminates water supplies near the wells. It poisons the air. There's a lot of release of natural gas into the atmosphere through the whole process of getting it out of the ground. And it's a very strong greenhouse gas that's heating up the atmosphere. In terms of global warming, it's very serious in terms of the leakage of natural gas, which has a lot of methane. So we're trying to stop this agency from just continually rubber stamping all these projects to expand fracking. That's basically what we're doing.
Okay. So how's it been going so far?
It's actually been pretty good. One of the reasons we're doing this is to try to appeal to the employees at FERC. So every morning we get there early. We've been there every workday from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And so we've been talking to the FERC employees, giving them leaflets, holding up posters for them to listen to. And, we've talked to some of them. There's definitely others we can tell from our interactions, just, our eye contact and so on, that our message is getting through. We definitely think that people inside FERC are taking what we're doing seriously, and we're kind of getting to their hearts and minds. So we feel that's being successful. And, there's been growing press coverage and, a lot of people coming by and wanting to talk to us, passers-by. So we feel we're having an impact.
Okay. So how long will your fast continue?
It goes until tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day. Yeah, and we're having a kind of an ending of the fast, kind of a ceremony, an event at 12 noon. I'm at FERC, where we're ending it, and we'll kind of break bread and have a number of people speaking. There'll be music. We're going to deliver five copies of the Pope's encyclical to FERC for the five FERC commissioners who are the decision makers. So, and we'll have a procession, kind of a march around the building.
So we are waiting for this because
you're not. I know. I'm going to go.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Who's got a face that will? I have his mercy. Hey. I'm Mr. Old Slave Driver. Time is catching up on you. Old Slave Driver. I know your sins, them are on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Kumi Naidu, International Executive Director, Greenpeace.
Friends, colleagues, dear brothers and sisters,
we gather here this morning with a spirit of hope to stand together with His Holiness the Pope in saying that now is the time for us to change. We cannot delay any longer, and that we look back on history and remember today the words of Nelson Mandela when he said, big change always seems impossible when you start, but seems inevitable when you finish. And we are here today to say that it's within our capacity to make a transition from dirty energy to clean energy, that we can achieve 100% renewable energy access for all by 2050 if our political leaders act with courage, act with decency, and act with morality. We also want to say that as we gather on one of the greatest halls of democracy, we want to remind the people meeting there that in fact democracy was supposed to balance the wallet, rich people's power, with the balance, ordinary people's power. And that in fact today, as an African and as people around the world look at the United States, we describe the United States as the best democracy money can buy. And that's not good enough. We need to ask our leaders in Congress to stop following the messages and the dictates of the oil, coal and gas companies and start listening to the voices of ordinary people. I want to end by saying that as environmentalists, we often say, save the planet, save the environment, and so on. So I want to end with good news. We don't need to save the planet. The planet actually does not need saving. Because if we allow the fossil fuel companies to drive us in the direction they are doing right now, and if our political leaders do not stand up and show courage, then what will happen is the warming track that we are on will end up with the planet still being here, we'll be gone. Right? So understand that this struggle is not about saving the planet. This struggle is about whether humanity can fashion a way to protect our common home by ensuring that we engage in a mutually respectful and interdependent relationship with nature for centuries and centuries to come. Put differently, this struggle is fundamentally about protecting our children and their children's future, and we stand 100% with the Pope as he takes that message to Congress. Thank you very much.
Please welcome Trip Van Noppen, President of Earth Justice.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Trip Van Noppen, the President of Earth Justice, the nation's premier environmental law organization. We are here today because Earth Justice shares Pope Francis's moral call to action to protect our planet for all people, for every community. He calls on our sense of justice and compassion, our shared dependence on a healthy planet. We share that commitment with hundreds of partners. We're linking arms with people fighting mountaintop removal mining in West Virginia, fighting for solar energy in Arizona and New Mexico and Colorado, fighting for solar energy here in Maryland and Virginia. We're joining with towns who are banning fracking across the country, in towns like Dryden, New York, like La Habra Heights, California, like Denton, Texas. We're joining together with all of you in this phenomenal event today to answer Pope Francis's call to build a bigger movement, to leave no one behind in our commitment to a healthy planet. We gather today outside the Capitol building. Inside that building, a divided Congress is unable to act on climate change. But outside, here on the National Mall, we are united. United in our moral commitment to action and to justice. We affirm our determination today that global action for climate justice will not be blocked by the fossil fuel industry and its political servants. We show the world today that our movement is not only about protecting the environment, it's about our common bond of love and respect for one another, as well as for the planet that we call home. The people running the Congress in that building behind us, they will not deter us They will not deny us. We will prevail. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, the co-president of PAX Frisky International, Marie Dennis.
Pope Francis, by his integrity, honesty, and simplicity, has taken this city by storm. He is personally engaging and instinctively inclusive. But even as he exudes warmth and joy, Pope Francis is using the global stage on which he now stands to amplify the message we in the global north have been hearing from our friends in the global south for decades. With particular vigor, he has leveled harsh words at those who manage or benefit from the systems that perpetuate poverty, wreak havoc on the planet, and wage war. Francis' concern for impoverished people and for the earth are well known, but his words about deadly violence and war are less frequently quoted. War, he says, is the suicide of humanity, and he repeatedly links war and preparations for war to poverty, to climate change, and to ecological devastation. Pax Christi believes that for much too long, we in the United States have accepted a paradigm that justifies enormous loss of human life and widespread destruction of the planet in pursuit of an elusive peace and false security. The consequences of this framework have been front and center in the lives of millions of people around the world, and too many, especially people of color, in our own communities. Pope Francis has called religious leaders, political decision makers, and ordinary people to hear the cry of the poor, pay attention to the cry of the earth, and have the courage to make peace. We would do well to follow his advice. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Director of Strategy and Policy for the Union of Concerned Scientists, Alden Meyer.
Friends, climate change is not just an environmental problem, it's one of the greatest social, economic, and moral challenges of our time. No country is immune from its impacts, and no country can meet this challenge alone. We can't point fingers and say your end of the lifeboat is sinking. Rather, we have to put aside our differences and come together to solve this crisis. The climate summit in Paris this December offers us the opportunity to meet this challenge by taking the actions needed to avert the worst impacts of climate change. We can get an ambitious agreement in Paris that sees all countries to committing to do their part and sets us on a course towards a renewable energy-powered economy by the middle of this century. We have to do this in a way that also addresses the crises of economic inequality, poverty, and social exclusion. And we must greatly expand support for communities around the world and here at home that are already suffering the impacts of climate change. Fortunately, there are signs that we can get such agreements in Paris. More and more leaders every day are committing to fight for a comprehensive and ambitious deal this December. Of course, there are some politicians in the building behind us who still don't get it, who say that taking action is too expensive, that if we take action, other countries won't join us, or that the threat of climate change is exaggerated, or even worse, a hoax. One member of Congress, Representative Steve King of Iowa, told a reporter this week that when the Pope addresses Congress today, he hopes the Pope emphasizes moral issues rather than things like global warming. I've got a news flash for Congressman King. You're also not going to like what the Pope says about justice for immigrants. Anybody who doesn't understand that climate change is one of the most profound moral issues we face hasn't been paying any attention at all to what Pope Francis has been saying. We can only hope these advocates of inaction will open their hearts to Pope Francis's message, will reflect deeply on the kind of world they want to leave their children and grandchildren, and will change their position. But in the meantime, the rest of us must push ahead to win the actions we need to see both in Paris and here at home. By your presence today, you're sending a strong message to our political leaders. The science is clear, the impacts are real, the problem is urgent, the solutions are available, and inaction is unacceptable. So let me hear you say it loud and clear. Yes, we can. Yes, we must. Yes, we will. Join me. Yes, we can. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Yes, we can. Yes, we must. Yes, we will. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President and CEO of the Climate Reality Project, Mr. Kenneth Berlin.
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for coming. I hope you enjoyed the video that we just showed with the voices of people from around the world demanding action on climate change. And I'm going to ask all of you to demand that action also today. I'm worked with the chairman of the Climate Reality Project, Al Gore, to unite people like yourselves, thousands of people that are gathered here today to stop climate change and create a safe and healthy future for our planet. A future we're proud to give our children. A future where everyone has a chance to thrive. We know that climate change is the moral challenge of our time. Together, we need to make sure that world leaders know it too and understand Pope Francis's message that we all have an obligation to take action. We can't let complacency or politics stand in the way. We stand here today with Pope Francis telling our leaders that we have a moral imperative to act on climate change. We do so for the sake of our families, for the sake of the most vulnerable, for the sake of this beautiful planet. Today, you can help. I would like everybody to ask themselves one question. Why, when we have this kind of enthusiasm, why, when everyone knows that most Americans want action on climate change, why don't we get action? And the reason is that more and more people have to vote, more and more people have to tell their leaders that they need to take action. If we give them that political basis, we'll see the kind of change that we all want to happen. So I'm asking all of you today to text 313131 and put in the word climate and demand action on climate change. Again, please text 313131 and put in the word climate. That will send a strong message to Congress. It will send a strong message to world leaders. So, again, thank you all for being here today. Thank you for making your voices heard. Thank you for staying active in this movement. Working together, we can and will solve the climate crisis. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, for your pleasure, the musical group Robert Miranda.
Good morning. What a beautiful way to start the day. We should do this every morning. So I'm going to play a little song I wrote for my friends at the Interfaith Moral Action Committee in Washington, D.C. I'm Robert Miranda from Washington, D.C. Sean Miles is joining me. So this is about change. The song is called Change in Time. Looked out on a new morning day, somehow seems something's gone astray. Oh, 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 change in time. Hard to know what season this is. December came like summer again. Whoa, 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 change in time. Temperatures climb as the sea levels rise. The scientists say you can kiss it goodbye. Whoa, 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 change in time. So our leaders tell us what we want to hear. It's just another day, just passing beers. Whoa. Kids will
You're listening to 89.3 WPFW, your Pacifica listener power station for jazz and justice in the nation's capital. And we are hearing voices from the National Mall, the Pope Francis Moral Action on Climate Justice Rally. And that's actually still going on the National Mall. And this mobilization is just one of many that has occurred around the Pope's visit. Before these voices at this rally, we heard Ted Glick of the Chesapeake Climate Action Network, and he's one of several activists that have been on a fast, actually, since September 8th to stop fracking in the country, the very controversial process of hydraulic fracturing for natural gas and oil that scientists say that this process is fouling our water, our air, and really going against the grain of creating clean energy. So next we're going to talk to another group that is rallying and staging actions during the Pope's visit. The Center for Community Change is doing a faith vigil. They're engaging in 24 hours of prayer, reflection, and action on immigration to welcome Pope Francis. And they are finishing up their action today. So I think via Skype I have Sulma Arias, Immigration Field Director for Center for Community Change. Good morning, Sulma.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
And can you tell me about the action? What kind of motivated you to take this particular tack to bring attention to the issue of immigration reform, and tell us a little bit about the action?
Sure. So the Fair Immigration Reform Movement is a coalition that has been fighting for the rights of immigrants for over 15 years. And we are made up by 42 organizations across the country. And as we knew that this event was taking place, and there's such a large population of people who make up this movement, who are also people of faith, especially of Catholics. So this was a very important moment for them in the fight for better rights for immigrants. So a lot of them couldn't be here, obviously, and we wanted to engage in a process where people could be part of this, even though they couldn't be here in Washington, D.C. So we decided to host 24-hour vigils that started yesterday at 12 p.m. Eastern and are going all the way until 12 p.m. Eastern today, and then some actions, like calls to Congress, and so people did everything from holding a mass yesterday to vigils to watch parties of the remarks made to Congress today, and it really provided a way for people to be united in spirit and with the same message, and that message being that we really need to get out of the environment that we've been in now for weeks. It's a negative environment towards immigrants. It's a hateful environment towards immigrants. And the hope was that this would open up just a positive environment of love and, to really be the kind of human beings that we can be to each other.
So Pope Francis has actually spoken a few times now about immigration. He's spoken about being an immigrant himself. He has, at the White House, and as we just heard speaking before Congress, he reiterated the theme about justice and fairness for all people, and how I think he said at some point, you are all immigrants at some point, right? Yep. Like, if you're not a Native American, like, you're an immigrant, right? What kind of impact do you think that the Pope's visit has had? Have you seen any effects so far?
Yeah, I think it's really strange. You can kind of feel this, the spirit of that really takes us above all the politics that we've been experiencing the beginning of the year. As you know, it's been a tough moment for the immigrant rights movement with a policy that the DAPA that was passed by President Obama in November of last year that is holding up the, you know, the future of not only 11 million families, but 5 million families who would have benefited from that. So there's a, you know, it's not a bright outlook. And then on top of that, all the hate and violence that we've experienced in rhetoric and, you know, in what's happening in Congress. But there's a feel today of, you know, the words that he used really lifted up all of us, all Americans.
Human beings, right.
Mm-hmm. As human beings, reminded us that they're to tap into a better part of ourselves. I think immigrants are feeling like for a moment all of us could put away the partisan, the politics, and just focus on a better part of us. And I think that's that we feel inspired. It's been a long fight. So I think the immigrant fight movements, the people who are part of that, they're part of the immigrant rights movement, and we're sitting there. We had several members of our group sitting there inside the chambers as well.
Okay.
You know, it was a time to just put away everything and just take it all in and rise above
right. All
the stuff that's been happening.
I've been trying to figure out if the issue is really whether the Pope can actually shame someone like Donald Trump into, I don't know, just, you know, ratcheting down the rhetoric to remove that type of speech. And even, it's not really just speech, but that way of thinking, to change his way of thinking about immigrants. And he would have a tremendous influence on all of his followers since he's the front runner. But I don't know if that's really possible. I'm just thinking of...
I think it happened a few moments during his speech when he said, I think that the one where I felt was like a direct... And the way that he did it, I mean, such a wise way. It's not about... You know, it's almost like a father talking to his children, right? There's some who've been really bad, and Trump is one of them maybe, right? So there's like... But the way he did it is not to really shame you into destroying you, but it was that such an argument, especially when he said that the yardstick that you use to measure others will be used over time to measure you. So really powerful words that didn't really seek to really destroy, but to recall on that better person that, you know, we can be, and even Trump can be. So even though he didn't do it in a way that was direct, the words were so powerful. It was about values, about fairness, about treating others equally. That really reminded us we can be better. And mm-hmm. he didn't say it with that exact or detail. Didn't address Trump directly, but focused on bigger values.
Okay. So if folks want to get in touch with the Center for Community Change, how can they connect with you and your actions and campaigns?
Well, they can look us up on our website is the Fair Immigration Reform Movement. We are part of the Center for Community Change, and mm-hmm. they can also look us up at our website, centerforcommunitychange.org. And you know, at the Fair Immigration Reform Movement site, they can also contact me directly, sarius@communitychange.org.
Okay. And, you know, one other thing before we wrap this up. I do know that the Pope is going to Philadelphia for like Festival of the Families. Mm-hmm. And this is to support basically families from Latin America, immigrant families. And are you connected with that festival?
Yes, we have a group, Make the Road New York, and some other groups there that will be taking part of several activities starting today with a vigil ahead of the time waiting for him. And plus, we have a lot of members that are part of the firm network that will be present and holding different actions.
Okay. Well, thank you. I've been speaking to Sulma Arias, Immigration Field Director for Center for Community Change. Thank you, Sulma.
Thank you.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to talk about the Black community and Catholicism and really get some different perspectives on the Pope's visit. And so stay with us. We'll be right back. And hopefully we might be able to even take a few calls.
Here we go, yo.
What? And dog is first up to bat. No batteries included and no strings attached. No holds barred. Time for move faking. Gots to get to loot so I can bring home the bacon. Brothers front, they say the drop can't flow, but we've been known to do the impossible like Broadway Joe. So sleep if you want, like we will help you get your Z's, true. But here's the real scoop. I'm all that and then some. Short, dark, and handsome. Bust a nut inside your eye to show you where I come from. I'm vexed, fuming. I've had it up to here. My days of paying dues are over. Acknowledge me is in there. Yeah! Head for the border. Go get a taco. I see record from the jump street. Meaning from the get-go. Sit back, relax, and let yourself go. Don't sweat what you heard. Now act like you know.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all.
Who got the vibe? It's the tribe, y'all.
Tribe,
y'all.
Real
vibe, y'all.
Vibe, y'all.
Inside, outside, come around.
Who's that?
Brown. Some may I say, call me Charlie. The word is the herb, and I'm deep like Bob Marley. Lay back on the payback, Evolve rotate the gates.
Contact!
Can I get a hit?
Hit!
Boom, bit with a brother named Tip. And we're ready to flip. East Coast stomping.
And welcome back to Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition, this special expanded edition for the visit of Pope Francis to Washington, D.C. And in this segment, I have the honor and privilege to speak to Archbishop George Augustus Stallings. He's founder of the Imani Temple African American Catholic Congregations. Good morning. Thank you for joining me.
Good morning, Esther, and good morning to your entire listening audience on WPFW On the Ground.
Okay, so I first want to get your reaction to what you've heard from the Pope's visit. You know, he's been at the White House. He's just spoken before Congress. And what's your takeaway?
I am very impressed with His Holiness, Pope Francis. He is a man of high moral esteem, a man of deep holiness. His connection to God, his creator, is strong, and his message is consistent with what he believes as a man of faith. His coming to America is really a major highlight. I do not know of any world leader, whether religious or political, who has the moral clout and persuasion as this particular Pope, Pope Francis. His coming to America, his very first visit
that?
To America, because first of all, he exemplifies a life of holiness, humility, a connection with the common man and common woman. He has divorced himself from all of the trappings that we normally see associated with the papacy. I studied theology in Rome for 5 years, lived right next door to the Vatican, and had the opportunity to experience the pontificates of Pope Paul VI as well as Pope John Paul II. And I can tell you that what Pope Francis has done by moving out of the Papal Palace into a dormitory-style residence, riding around in a Fiat rather than a Mercedes or a Benz, a Mercedes-Benz or a Lamborghini or that other fancy car, the Bentley. This man is plain and simple. He wears the same pectoral, that cross he wears on his chest, the one that he wore as a cardinal. He didn't get one with all the bling. He doesn't have all that bling that we normally associate with the papacy. So he's a down-to-earth man. He connects with the common man, and that's the beautiful thing about him.
So when I was preparing for this segment, I noticed that one of the Imani temples in Lafayette, Louisiana.
That's right. Imani Temple number 49 in Lafayette, Louisiana. Yes.
Is very much involved in the killing of a young black teenager, young black man there. And the pastor seems to be taking a leading role in that, speaking for that community and with that community. Is this an example of what you feel is lacking when African Americans are part of the larger Catholic Church?
First of all, we have a great pastor in Lafayette, Louisiana, at Imani Temple, number 49 there. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's all contained in his name. His name is Father John Wayne Milton. He's an African American priest, however. But we, we pride ourselves as an autonomous, independent, and African-centered Catholic expression of the Christian faith to be able to speak to the situations, to the condition and circumstances of our people as we see it. We believe that we are called to take ownership and control over our own destiny. So when we see that situation of injustice in Lafayette, Louisiana, which is in southwest Louisiana, where we have a very strong movement there, Imani Temple, we believe that we are called by the gospel, by the good news, to speak truth to power. We believe that when we see something, we will say something. And when we see injustice, we will address injustice. And we don't have to worry about the ramifications that might come from an institution that doesn't have our sensitivity or doesn't seem to know why we need to take ownership and control of our own destiny, regulating what we say or how we get involved. So we're speaking to that issue. I was in Louisiana about a month ago, and we're going to have a major rally in October to address that injustice where the police seem to want to call it a suicide rather than a homicide. That's where the injustice is. And I'm reminded of the words of the late Martin Luther King Jr. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. That's why we're seeing so many young black men being slaughtered on our streets. That's why we're seeing that slogan being made popular today. Black lives matter. Yes, all lives matter. But in this particular instance, with what we're seeing in America, we've got to focus on black lives. And as a black church led by black clergy, we can address that issue straight on.
So one of the things that is, I don't really hear the Black Lives Matter issue really big on the Pope's visit. I mean, I did hear on this address, in this address to Congress, him mention justice for African Americans. It was just kind of fleeting because I was busy trying to do some other stuff on the computer. But I don't see that paramount. It's mainly the climate justice, which is very important because, you know, climate justice is really justice for us all of all colors, right?
Right.
And, but I wanted to, you to talk a little bit about what you feel is the institutional racism within the Catholic Church.
Right. In all fairness to His Holiness Pope Francis, this is his very first visit to the United States of America. A lot is being expected of him. A lot of pressure is being placed upon him. You know, even though he's a man who is fearless and who will speak the heart of Jesus the Christ to Americans, he is not his own man. Understand that about any Pope of Rome. He is not his own man. There's a reason why the cardinals will select a man who is in his 70s to be the Pope rather than a man who is in his 50s. Because in reality, the Pope, even though he is the spiritual leader of approximately 1.3 billion Catholics around the world, he is not his own man. He has a, what we might call a governing body called the Curia Romana, which in English would be the Roman Curia. This entrenched, organized structure that governs the movement of the Pope and even will regulate the things that comes out of his mouth. And if you elect a man who is in his 70s, who's more like the Holy Grandfather than the Holy Father, he cannot make substantive changes in the Roman Catholic Church that will impact it on a way that it will stick. One of the oldest popes that the Roman Catholic Church elected yet in 1958, but the one who made the most radical changes thus far in the Roman Catholic Church, Pope John the 23rd, was so old they thought he would just be a caretaker. Well, he went in there, you know, and excuse my expression, he turned the mother out. It's Mother Church, you know. They do call it Holy Mother Church. He turned the mother out and brought about such reform that it they're still trying to undo some of the things that he did, but they never expected him to do that at his age. So the Roman Catholic Church's real perspective is that we elect a man to be the Pope, but we're going to make sure that he doesn't stay around long enough to make any kind of major changes that will turn things around. So really, Pope Francis can't address the needs of African Americans right now because he's so old, his plate is too full. But when we talk about institutional racism, we're not just talking about racist acts to say just to blacks or even to Hispanics, but we're talking a kind of racism that has become so institutionalized that it is entrenched so that it only operates out of a Eurocentric, hegemonic, what is it, a white world dominant paradigm. In order for there to be a paradigm shift in the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church is going to have to be decentralized. It's going to have to become more regionalized. We as Americans will have to address what are the needs of the American church, just as the Argentinian church, because the Pope is Argentinian, an immigrant. His parents were immigrants from Italy. Just as the Argentinian church will have to address their concerns, the church in Europe, the church in Africa, and in Asia. But institutional racism is that which can basically be defined as those who are in power refusing to share that power base with those who are oppressed, those who are marginalized, those who are on the fringes of the church's life and structure. So we're saying to rid the church of racism, the church has to be more willing to allow different cultures, races, and ethnic groups to express their own spirituality and culture.
Okay, we are able to open up the phone lines. I'm Esther Verum. This is Thursday's Community Watch and Comment, the On the Ground edition, and I'm speaking with Archbishop George Augustus Stallings, founder of the Imani Temple African American Catholic Congregations. And if you would like to join the discussion, you can call 202-588-0893. Of course, we're having this discussion during the visit of Pope Francis to the United States and to here, our region in the DMV, Washington, D.C. And since he's been here, he's made comments on several issues that are like right in the news: immigration, climate change. Basically, he talked about discrimination and just basically social justice. So if you'd like to make a comment on any of those things about the Pope's visit, his comments, or even about this controversy, which we'll talk about next in terms of this canonization of, I've been saying Junipero Serra. Is it Junipero Serra?
Well, we say that in English, but probably the French would be more, Spanish would probably be more
what
Junipero Serra.
Yeah, that's what I, okay.
I didn't know you were fluent in Spanish.
Well, I can say a few words. Okay, so 202-588-0893. We have a couple callers. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Tespa from Arlington. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Tespa.
Good morning to the priest and good morning to you, my sister. I have a question. We went to the Vatican Embassy a couple of years ago because in Italy, a memorial was erected for Marshal Graziani. Marshal Graziani is the commander of the fascist Mussolini soldiers who spread poison gas on Ethiopians in 1936. A memorial was being erected, and a Catholic priest was blessing that occasion, and we went to the Vatican Embassy asking them to tell us it's wrong and condemn it, and the Vatican Embassy asked us to get the priest's name. We got the priest's name and went back to the Vatican Embassy and presented to them, and they actually joked at us.
Okay. I get the story. I hear what you're saying, Tesfa, and you know, this reminds me of what people were saying in terms of the canonization of Junipero Serra, this priest who founded all these missions in California, which basically led to the extermination of like 150,000 native people here in this country. So you can sometimes, you know, it will happen if you go to like a concert or a movie theater, a movie or something, and all these people around you are enjoying it, and you're looking at it, and it's really racist, and you can't stand it, and you start to feel like a unicorn. So I understand how you feel, and maybe we can bring that up again when we start talking about these ways in which the church has repeatedly just dismissed people's legitimate concerns that they've raised about these canonization of individuals. And it also makes me think of what you just said in terms of the Pope not really having any control over that.
I mean, oh, really?
I'm sure that that motion was in underway, and could he have actually stopped that?
He could have stopped it, but he would not stop it if it was being recommended by his underlings or those who really run the day-to-day operations of the Vatican. But one thing is for sure, and your caller can take comfort in this, God is a God of justice. And sometimes the things that we do as human beings, God will undo, and justice will be done.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
I love all the graffiti written over the Confederate statues. I mean, I have to admit, you know, I did some graffiti back in Philadelphia when I was a kid.
You should be on your way to Philadelphia to greet the Pope there after New York.
But all these graffiti on these Confederate statues is great. Anyway, let's go to the next caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Hello, are you speaking to me?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you have such a beautiful voice.
Well, wow,
is it nice?
I just want to pass this by to people, that everybody that is listening now, is that if I see things a little different than what most people see things. Is it not a true statement that Catholic people get on their knees and pray to statues? That's true. Is it not a true statement that priests molest children, child molesters? That being a true statement, that's not my opinion. That being true, well, what's wrong with the people? Why do we give offerings and support a place that molests little children? I don't understand how we think. I don't understand what's wrong with us. I didn't lie. It's a true statement. They molest children, and they pray to statues, and they make saints out of human beings that was once on earth, and they died and went on back to ashes, dust to dust. They make them out of somebody to pray to be an intercession. It's just crazy. All I'm saying is I don't understand the people. How do you pray to statues that a man told you that was a saint? And you don't go through Jesus Christ, you go through this saint man that you get on your knees and make a cross inside in front of this statue after they wipe all of the pigeon drops off of the thing and clean it up. And then you pray. I've seen it with my own eyes. You pray to that thing, that cement statue, and then the priests are in there molest their little boys. I did not lie.
Okay, well, thank you for your comment. But, you know, I'm just not quite sure if he's saying this, making this a blanket statement about all Catholics. I mean, I think that there have been these cases, and these
right.
people, as it's been proven, and these people have, unfortunately, in many cases, not really given the right type of sentence
right.
or punishment. But to make a blanket statement of all Catholics is not right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we want to try to avoid universal statements, and I understand where the caller is coming from. First of all, Catholics do not pray to statues. I know what he's saying. He sees Catholics kneeling before statues, burning candles and all that, but the statue is supposed to be an image. It's supposed to be a veneration. It's not about worshiping the statue or praying to a piece of concrete or plaster. It's basically trying to call the image, even though that isn't the exact representation of the saint either. Some artist's rendition. But the whole concept of it's a devotion. It's a devotion within the Catholic Church. Yes, we do acknowledge that there have been those cases of pedophilia in the church, in the Roman Catholic Church. But if we would really examine it, it's in all churches. It's in society, as you said. So we don't want to make blanket statements. The caller is wondering how can Catholics still contribute to a church like that, because God is bigger than the church. It's not just the church. It's the people. It's serving the people of God who needs to be ministered to. So what we're trying to do is not ignoring or denying that these things have happened, as the caller has stated, but in regards to the faithful themselves, that you can, as you said, you can't make blanket statements, you can't make universal statements. And in the end, God is a God of justice. Those priests, those nuns, those bishops, archbishops, popes, whatever may be the case, will be dealt with in God's time.
Okay. Let's go to our next caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from.
My name is Greg, and I'm calling from Siouxland.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you and to the Archbishop.
Good morning.
I just want to thank the Archbishop for expanding his church out to the Siouxland area and also the services and activities that he will be bringing out into our community. We really appreciate it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that your comment?
One further comment regarding the Pope, because I think that the topic is involving the Pope and quite possibly his views on African-Americans or black people in general in America.
Mm-hmm.
And in listening and watching, I didn't see a lot because I worked, but I did get an opportunity to hear some of his comments. I noticed that he emphasizes the point that he is a person of peace. I think he stands in the position of St. Peter to be the person who is the spokesman from God to the people of the earth, all people to the earth. And as you stated in your opening comments, I noticed there wasn't a lot of comments about what's happening to African Americans in America if he, in fact, is the pontiff of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would have been apropos for him to be able to come out and say some words about that, and that healing America, because as you know as well as I do as an African American, things have changed, but they're moving very, very slowly.
Okay.
So we would hope that the church would take a stand, and as Archbishop has said, speaking power to peace, we would like to be able to have the pontiff in his trips throughout America to be able to say some very nice words about that and help America heal, because apparently America is a leading nation that has the greatest number of African Americans that are contributing to all facets of life on this earth, and we would like to see the Catholic Church help America to achieve its divinity.
Well, we'll give His Holiness a pass on this one because we know that his plate is full, as I said earlier. However, it would have been beneficial if His Holiness Pope Francis would have had one event or one segment of his American tour to visit an African American Roman Catholic parish or institution. He met with the Little Sisters of the Poor. He's going to be meeting with the Hispanics in Philadelphia, as you said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Esther, he's going to be meeting with the large Caucasian community of Roman Catholics. The only segment that seems to not have had special attention or focus is the African-American community. And this is what has been my complaint all along, that the Roman Catholic Church doesn't seem to be sensitive enough to the profound spiritual and cultural needs of African-Americans who have expressed a desire to be Roman Catholics, so that we feel like we're a part of the church. But I'm excited that the Pope is here, and I know he's going to make a positive impact on not only Catholicism and Catholics, but on America as well.
Okay, so I want to make sure we get everyone in. We have, I think, three callers on the line. So let's maybe do like 1 minute each. So just say your first name and where you're calling from.
Much love and respect. This is Tim Raw from Washington, D.C. with the Black People's Movement.
All right.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to the Pope, and he referenced to Moses, and he's the keeper, he's Jesus. He's the keeper of the book, the holy book, and he said that when he referenced to Moses, they stole from the Egyptians. That's the whole continent of Africa. And
okay.
The Pope's saying, he's saying, wait a minute, y'all supposed to get this money back. Now, you Hebrews came down and stole all the stuff and made these people poor, and I think he referenced about 1,000 people coming over to the Americans doing that.
Okay.
And then he talked about Abraham Lincoln. So
oh,
I think
wow.
my thing is, from the pastor, like everybody, we need to talk about, wait a minute, if he's the keeper of the book, what is this book actually saying when the Pope is referring to resources being taken from a person?
I didn't
see the Pope pass out. No, he kissed a couple of babies, but I didn't see him give out no dollar bills into a city that's being gentrified by black people, by Caucasians.
Okay, well, you really have a lot wrapped up in that. So let me try to get to the next two callers real quick. Just say your first name, where you're calling from.
Sammy from Washington, D.C. How are you today?
All right.
I was going to ask you, I mean, to the priest, all the things going on is going on now. Why are you being forecasted now what is happening from now on? And also, I will correct that the testify was talking about the Mussolini things. His government was dropped off a cluster bomb at the Eritrean people, 1986.
Okay.
So that's how much talk about all African nations now. He's not talking about specifically Africans only.
Okay, all right. Let me go to the next caller. Just say your first name and where you're calling from. Okay. So, all right. So, I think that we managed to get everyone in, and you know that will have to do it for us today.
Thank you, Esther.
Yeah. I want to thank in this hour Archbishop George Augustus Stallings, founder of the Imani Temple African American Catholic Congregations, and in my first hour Bridget Roussan and Kike Aviles, who I spoke to at the Mass yesterday at the Basilica at Catholic University. And I want to also thank my contributor, Chantel James and Zeph Ernest, for their production assistance. And thanks to my engineer, Michael Nicella. And thank you so much for listening and supporting your station for Jazz and Justice. You can reach the show at onthegroundshow.org, where you can now listen to all of our shows and past shows. Please like our Facebook and Twitter pages at On the Ground Show. Now stay tuned for the news, followed by the Thursday edition of Don't Forget the Blues. Raise your voice. Peace.